Time is running out. We have two Pedigrees to Pups seminar weekends scheduled with your host teaming up with Dr. Marty Greer. Join us in Austin, Texas, March 27th to 29th, or Onalaska, Wisconsin, April 10th to 12th for a groundbreaking seminar that combines discussion of pedigrees and building a breeding program with down-to-earth veterinary tips on healthy whelping and raising a new litter. We have built a breeding theory and breeding hands-on seminar that creates an all-inclusive understanding of both the art and science of dog breeding. Our goal is a full-circle mentoring experience in a small group format that creates community and opportunities for conversation and connection. Our topics cover everything from the foundation bitch, basic health and structure, breeding pedigrees, to progesterone timing, semen evaluation, neonates, and so much more. Check out the events tab at puredogtalk.com for more information. We'll see you there. Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I am your host, Laura Reeves, and I have such a special guest, you guys. Radek Blažo is joining us from Slovakia. He is a Pure Dog Talk listener, which I think is fantastic. And he's a longtime dog person in Slovakia, and he has created a new resource for dog people to train themselves to just, you know, relax and show your dogs. And so I'm super excited. As breeders, the start of a new year is the perfect time to set resolutions that prioritize what matters most, your puppies and their future. Unexpected accidents and illnesses can happen at any time, but you can ensure your litters and their new families are prepared for whatever comes their way with Trupanion's exclusive 30-day go-home offer. By joining Trupanion's free breeder support program, you can send your puppies home with their own special go-home offer, giving them immediate medical insurance coverage and protecting them from the moment they leave your care. This year, resolve to give yourself and your puppy buyers the ultimate gift of peace of mind as a member of Trupanion's breeder support program. Just stop by Pure Dog Talk website, puredogtalk.com, go to the partners page, and click the link there. That will let you sign up today and make 2026 the year of happy, healthy pups. Welcome, Radek. How are you today?
Thank you. I'm great. Happy to be here.
Excellent. 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 Give us the 411. You have TTs and Lhasas, right? Tibetan Terriers and Lhasas?
That's right. My breed is Lhasas originally. That's where I come from. And I'm involved now with the Tibetan Terriers, with friends that I'm helping with, great people that I'm working with. But I started with Lhasas. That was my first breed, my first love. I come from a family that is not a dog show family.
Oh, wow.
Not a dog owning family at all. But I always loved dogs. Ever since I was a little boy, dogs, dogs, dogs. I knew every dog everywhere. I studied every book because I was lucky enough that my father was taking me to see the puppies and see the dogs at different breeders. Mm. And at that time, I loved Lhasa Apsos because there were periods where I loved different breeds. And I was maybe 15. And he took me to this breeder. We didn't take a puppy, but we took a veteran dog that they said they are looking for a home.
Perfect.
For him. Yeah, and he was a Finnish champion in full coat. I had at that time no idea what to do, but he was my training ground, you know. I started with the 8-year-old Lhasa Apso, and almost 30 years later, I'm here.
Wow. So 15 years old, that is a lot of coat to learn how to manage.
Yeah. But I was a very curious child. So I was asking all the breeders, and mostly not Lhasa people in Slovakia, but people from different other breeds. They helped me to do what to do. And when I came to the dog show, I realized I have no idea what I'm doing. I was just looking around, totally stressed. So I learned that I need to learn this. Mm. So I went to work for, I was in touch already with some American breeders who later I took a puppy from Orlane Kennel. But I didn't get visas to go to America at that time. So I went to Italy to work for a handler there. And that was my start in the world of handling and in the world of learning about the code and learning about everything that you need to know for dog shows. And I loved that.
Wow.
Later, I got to America, actually. That's where I learned.
Yes, I was just going to say, you came to the U.S. Tell us about kind of your mentors here and some of the experiences and how it's different from Europe. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, it's very different, of course. Mm-hmm. My first experience was actually with the breeders. The breeder of Orlane Kennel, she actually got me in touch with a breeder of Shih Tzus and Lhasas in Illinois, Melissa Pepke, who was, you know, just a small breeder. But she was so generous with information. And she, my first trip to America was to her. And she actually had me showing one of the Shih Tzus of hers. I was terrified in Turin. But, you know, I always had her support, and she really guided me through everything I needed to know and learn about the code. Mm. And later, when I went to Florida to work for Barbara Beisel, that's where I learned the professional handling business, basically, and everything you need to know about the world of shows in America. Yeah, well, traveling for 6 weeks in a motorhome with, I don't know, 30 Yorkies and Silkies. I was like, my goodness.
That's a whole different world, man.
It's a whole different world, yeah. But it taught me that assistants are very important. And the best handlers have the best assistants. And yeah, I was happy. I was happy to learn that if you work hard in this business, learning all the time, you can really do something great.
It is absolutely true. And I promise you, not one of us as a handler is anywhere without a great assistant. That is a fact.
Yeah.
And particularly all that hair. I mean, that's a lot of hair.
It is a lot of hair. Like now I work with these friends with TTs, and it is a lot of hair, but it's not that hard, actually. When you learn the basics, it's very relaxing. It's almost like a meditation when you are, you know, with the sound of a dryer, which really gets you into the like a meditative mood. You're just with your thoughts, you know, repeating the same movement with the brush. It's very relaxing, really.
You know, I think it's true. And I know that I, of course, have wire-coated breeds. It's the same thing. When you're pulling coat on a dog, you can just kind of go off into la-la land because it is. And the best I have found in the U.S., the best groomers I know are my kids that have worked for me that had like ADHD. You know what I'm saying? They're super focused and super intense. They were great groomers.
Yeah, of course. Really, to me, the grooming is like a creating art. You know, you are basically sculpting this dog into an art piece.
That is with any breed. Absolutely. Absolutely on point. Professional handling in Europe really isn't a thing, right? Or is it beginning to be more so? Talk to me about that, because I know this has been kind of like changing over the last maybe 10 years.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I never really worked as a professional handler in Europe. There are very few. There are some which are really established and doing really well, but it's not like in America. It's not like people mostly, 95%, I would say, show their own dogs here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's...
Yeah. I always say to people who are interested, especially the young people, I always tell them, go and learn. Because, I mean, the first month in Italy, when I worked there, you know, young boy, the first month they told me, you will be cleaning the kennels and picking up poop in the garden,
yes.
You know. But that's the basics. That's the important part.
Yes. Yeah. Can I just have a moment of silence for, yes, the basics are the important part.
Yeah. That's the difference between the handling in Europe and in America. Mostly, even the professionals in Europe now, they come to the shows, pick up the dogs and show them. Very few have the dogs living with them. It's a big difference. Because,
a huge difference.
Yeah. To have a dog live with you and you can shape the dog, not just in the coat-wise sense, but in general, the whole psyche, the relationship with the dog, everything, the condition, you can make a huge difference there.
Yeah, that is always going to be a major difference. And I showed a few dogs over the years that didn't live with me, and it was very much a different proposition.
Yeah.
You can't get the same level, no matter what. You just can't. So talk to us about, first of all, you have created this program, and it is available worldwide, right? Because it's downloadable. So talk to us about what it is, why you made it, and what you're hoping like to achieve long term with it.
I was a journalist. A few years ago, I started to, I know you are. Yeah. I started to, first, I went through my own changes in what I thought I want to do. And I landed on hypnotherapy. So I was searching for how to do this correctly. And I found actually a college in UK where I finished my education. And it was actually cognitive behavioral hypnotherapy. So very connected to psychological principles of cognitive behavioral therapy. But I was working with clients, just mostly working on anxiety and self-confidence, and not major issues, but very important issues, because anxiety is one of the things that almost everybody deals with at certain time.
Yes.
And then I have always been thinking about how to connect these two things, you know, the world of dogs with my job somehow.
Right.
And I was once at a dog show when it just, the light bulb went on, you know, because I was watching the group in the ring, actually the breed ring of standard poodles.
Mm.
I talk about this story in my videos, and one handler there, standard poodles take a lot of time to prepare.
Yes.
The dog was beautifully groomed, prepared. You could see that she's not a novice person, but she went into the ring and totally fell apart, you know, in the ring. She was nervous, jumping around the dog, moving the dog all the time. And even the judge was, like, you could see the judge is like, stop touching the dog. Just let him stand there. She was upset, you know. Because these emotions are actually contagious, you know. And the dog looking all around like, what the hell is happening over here? We need to do something. And I later talked to her and she said, I go to trainings all the time and, you know, I'm fine at the trainings, but I come to the ring and this is what happens to me. Like, my mind goes blank and I can't focus. I know what to do, but you have these 2 minutes where you are supposed to shine and she just can't do it. And this was, to me, this was like, well, this is exactly what I do with people. You know, I had a client, she was going for her wedding and she wasn't sure if she's going to be able to do the wows or presentation at work, you know, all these clients get like frustrated in these certain situations. They can't be themselves, basically.
So dog shows, I think, have even an extra special layer of this, right? Because not only does the person get nervous, but you talk about this on your video, that goes right down the leash to the dog. So you've got two components being impacted by your mental state. Talk about that.
Yeah, because in sports, you have the athlete who is doing the sport. Mm-hmm. And the athlete has to focus and be prepared for whatever he's going to do. But we have the next element. Not only we have to be prepared, but we have to kind of make sure that the dog is doing fine. Because when I was preparing this course, I learned, I mean, we know that we can tell when the dog is not doing well, when the dog is not showing well. We can kind of sense it. But the science actually, there is a lot of science behind it, which proves that this is actually happening. The dogs can smell our emotions. Mm-hmm. And I was reading an old book from George Alston, you know, the famous legendary handler.
Yes.
And he actually talked about this in his book. You know, he talked like, put a mint in your mouth, the dog will not smell it.
Yes.
You know, handlers know these things. Somehow we pick up on things from the dogs, but there is the science which also proves it.
Yeah.
You know, there are scientists like University of Bristol. They had a special study made, which was looking at not only if the dogs can smell the emotions of the people, but what happens to the dogs. And they realized that the dogs change their behavior when they smell stress or fear or sadness from a person. They changed how they behaved. And this is exactly what happens in the ring. You know, these animals are so smart. They're beasts. They have to kind of survive. You know, it's still in them, all these instincts. So when they smell this fear, they usually want to protect us from something. They can't see the danger because the danger is in our mind, right. You know, but the dog reacts to it. And this is what we have to work on with. Because, yes, we can kind of smile and act as if, but
The dogs are smarter.
They smell the sweat, the adrenaline in our body and all the hormones. And we can't fake the smile with the dog.
I love that. Hang tight, guys. Got a little bit of information for you. We'll be right back to the podcast in a minute. All right, you guys. The stunning Doberman Pinscher Penny has earned a spot in history as the best in show winner of the 150th Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show, presented by Purina Pro Plan. Penny, who is fed Pro Plan Sport Performance 3020 chicken and rice formula, has also etched a place in Pro Plan history as number 19 of the past 20 Westminster winners fed Pro Plan dog food. In 2025, Penny was one of the 96 out of 100 top show dogs fed Pro Plan dog food, the top choice of owners and handlers of show dogs. To learn more about Pro Plan dog food fed to show champions like Westminster winner Penny, visit purina.com/proplan/dogs. The rankings noted above are based on Dog News Magazine's Top 100 Dogs, AKC All Breed Competition, and Reserve Bests in Show through 12/31/25. Like the NPR of dogdom, Pure Dog Talk is here for you to make sense out of everyday things, to add nuance to your understanding, and tools to your tech box, to bring history to life and propel the living history of purebred dogs into the future. So, serious observation. What do you guys think I hear more often than crooked judges and professional handlers win everything? I hear a continuing cry for community. So, for folks who are looking to have meaningful conversation, avoid keyboard warriors, and join a welcoming and knowledgeable group, we offer you an option. Forget about spilling the tea. Drink from a well of thoughtful and thought-provoking dog people. Pure Dog Talk patrons support the work we do here by contributing to our crowdsourcing campaign. For as little as $10 a month, you can keep the MP3s rolling here at Pure Dog Talk. You can contribute to the future of purebred dogs by building the fortunes of the Marty and Laura show. You can gain access to a private Facebook group, private After Dark Zoom room, and private Laura Unleashed podcast episodes. Even your own Pure Dog Talk digital badge. Visit puredogtalk.com/patron to find out how you can join the best community in dogs. I teach people when I'm teaching them to show their dogs, and I write about this. We have to think of ourselves as the dog is following the leader, right? Follow the leader. I am the leader. I am the one guiding, directing, instilling with my mind how the dog should feel. If I am nervous and freaking out, then the dog is going to be nervous and freaking out.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like the dog can mess up when we are fine. Mm-hmm. And somehow the dog can still win. But if the handler messes up, I mean, there's no way you're winning, right? Because the dog is not going to behave the way we want it. And it's not only about behavior, actually. Mm. Because think about, we know when the dog is not well, you know, when the dog is afraid, how does it move? You know, it's not relaxed, moving freely.
Yes.
It's the same as with people. You know, our emotions change how we behave. You can tell when somebody is crouched and small, we are basically feeling fear, protecting ourselves. The dogs are the same. The tail goes down. I mean, I obviously have Lhasas and Tibetans. They're very sensitive breed. And the tail is the first thing which happens. You know, they're trying to protect themselves and show their feelings. But it's also in the movement, you know, they're not going in the beautiful, relaxed movement with great reach and drive. It's just not there when the dog is not feeling relaxed. So even how they look is influenced by how they feel.
Yes, 100%. And it really is. It also goes back to, I talk to a lot of experts and scientists and behaviorists, and they talk about the special relationship between dogs and people, right? They read our face. They smell us. All of it is a feedback loop. And so then the dog drops his tail, and then you get more nervous, and then the dog drops its ears, and then you get more nervous. Yeah. And then, you know, it is that symbiotic relationship that is in play.
We are afraid the dog's changes its behavior because the dog is not doing as well as we want it. We expect something horrible is going to happen. It's not going to show. We're not winning. We get more nervous. The dog gets more nervous. And yeah, it becomes a really horrible spiral.
Yeah. We think of that as a death spiral.
Yeah.
So talk to me about how the work that you're doing with hypnosis is able to help with that. You know, just with the understanding that I am not familiar with the concepts and how it works. So walk us through that.
This is a great question and important to talk about because people are usually afraid of hypnosis. Mm-hmm. You know, they're like, oh, you will have me do something I don't want to do. You know,
you're going to make me quack like a duck.
Yeah, exactly. But hypnosis is actually a very natural state. Have you ever been in a car driving somewhere? You got there and all of a sudden you realize you don't even remember to drive.
Way, way, way too many times.
Yeah, that's hypnosis because we are focused on something. It's a state, which is natural state of hyper-focus. We are hyper-focused on something and everything else from around us just kind of disappears. Mm. That's what hypnosis is. So how I use it, it's really very natural. Actually, when people try, they're like, oh, this was hypnosis? Yes, you have been sitting here for 40 minutes on one spot, not moving. When has that ever happened before?
Oh my God.
But how I use it is basically to learn and train the correct behavior of the person and feelings and, you know, all of these things which we need to work on. So it's great for practicing. You can practice the desired results in hypnosis.
So I want to have a calmer mind. Let's just say that's my goal. I want to have a calm mind. I want to be clear about the steps that I'm going to do with my dog. You're saying you're practicing that in the hypnotic space. Am I saying it right? Like, I feel really bad. Like, I don't really...
No, don't feel bad. It's great questions, actually, because number one, I start explaining the psychology of dog shows. Mm-hmm. What are the triggers which actually create the state of our body? You know, when our parasympathetic nervous system starts to actually react, you know, it's the fight, flight, or freeze reactions of our body, which are natural, which happens when we are kind of stressed or when something is happening which is, you know, not relaxing for us. Mm. This is important to know the triggers, because if we know what we want to fix, first we have to know what is causing these problems. Mm. So we learn all of these things, these basics of why we behave the way we behave, why we get nervous at the show. Why is this? I mean, it could be just like a walk in the park. Why are we nervous when we are there? Mm-hmm. So we have to realize, you know, actually the language of dog shows was something, you know, when I was writing it, I was like, oh my God, I never realized this. You know, judge, ring, what happens in the boxing ring, you know,
right.
Who right. likes to be judged?
Right. Good point.
So all of these things are in our subconscious. We don't actually realize this, but we are influenced by this. Then there is the pressure of the time schedule, you know, mm-hmm. 2-3 minutes to perform. So all of these things are triggers. So first I teach people to communicate with their mind. What do you say to yourself when you see these handlers and you're going to the ring? A lot of people are like, you know, there's no point. All of these things which we talk to ourselves influence how we feel, influence how we behave. You know, it's the thought, feeling, and action. Mm-hmm. It's all these three things which are influenced by each other. So I teach them how to create these affirmation, if you want to say, or how to communicate with your mind. How to block these thoughts that I have. You know, people get nervous when they see the competition or whatever. Mm-hmm. And as I'm listening to your podcast for years, I am making notes of, oh my God, this person said this, this person said this. And there are so many great stories mm-hmm. from all these handlers, you know. Like I told you about Carlos J. Puig, who was talking about his childhood and how he was nervous at the show, but he learned to basically blur the surrounding and totally focus on the dog. Mm-hmm. That's one of the exercises which I actually do. How to have this tunnel vision on your dog and blur all the other people around you, you know. So there are all these cognitive things. Then there are the breathing exercises which you can do to relax your body before you go to the ring. Mm. Even before we do any hypnosis, I teach them a lot of these like instant techniques which you can learn when you feel the tension. Doesn't have to be at the dog show. It can be whenever you are nervous, you know.
Right.
I did it this morning.
I am not scary. Come on.
No. I know. But, you know, it helps you to regulate your nervous system and it helps you to be more of yourself, you know, just to be relaxed.
So you have like a series of videos, is that right? Plus one-on-one stuff. Talk to me about how this works, like, you know, in practicality. Are you going to like get on a thing and hypnotize me? Because, you know, like that, I want to know the whole thing.
No, how this works is I have courses, which, you know, I have set dates where I explain all of this. It's all online. I explain all of this. People get everything in the written form. You know, they have these things which they can use. And I have recordings for people to listen to, which are basically the exercises which you practice. You can do it every day. There are some which you do just in the morning before the dog show, just to prepare you for the day and to get your motivation to the correct level. So like this is how it works. And hypnosis, of course, is an important part, because when you think about the practice, how many times have you been in the ring before you were relaxed and felt good, you know? If you are a professional handler, there have been maybe hundreds and thousands times, because you were an assistant before and you were in the ring a lot of times. But if you're a regular dog owner, you know, you try this weekend at three shows, next weekend three shows, you don't get to go into the ring as often as a professional would.
True.
But you can go to the ring and practice in hypnosis 10 times a day if you want. Love. That's the amazing part.
Yeah. So I have to tell you a story. When I was a handler and I had assistants, right? And they were usually pretty young kids. That's just kind of what it was. And I would go to their ring and I would go like this, right? And this was my symbol, go inside your head. Get inside your head. So all this time I was doing hypnosis and I didn't even know it.
Well, you know, you taught them to focus.
Yeah.
This sign was a cue that you used for them to go into a certain mental state.
Yes.
You know, but that's very, wow, I never heard the story, actually.
True.
So
true story.
It's amazing.
True story. That was how I always tried to get them to get inside their head, focus on their dog, quit, you know, that one. And the story, this is another story. I don't think I've ever told this story on the podcast. So I had, when I was handling dogs, I had already started the podcast by this point. This was during that couple of years of crossover. My last champion, my last special, was a Spinoni named Adele. Adele was very, she was something. And she was beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And we had a goal of winning the breed at the garden. And she was, Spinoni in general are very sensitive, and she was a particularly so, and really picked up on any emotional thing. And so I had to work 5,000 times as hard with that particular dog on my own mental state. And I'd been doing it for 30 years at this point. And she won the breed. And I knew she was going to struggle with Madison Square Garden and the crowds and the this. And I can tell you, I have pictures of it. And it's the only way I know it actually happened, because I was so focused. And her owner had taken her to a doggy psychic, and the doggy psychic said that Adele wanted to know that she was beautiful. And so we had this mantra that we would repeat to Adele, that pretty is as pretty does. And
oh, nice.
Literally that went through my mind. I told it to her. I brushed her ears and she held it together. And I watched other people's dogs melt down. And I'm like, my dog is here. And I don't remember seeing the crowds. I don't remember seeing anything. All I remember is 1,000% having to wrap my head around, I can't focus on anything but this dog's mind, and holding her together in such a big environment. And we did it. And she was like, I don't know, group five. She made the cut. So.
No, but this really works. I mean, the dogs, as George Olson always says, you know, dogs are folks, you know, they are little people. That's why, for example, language is a big part of the course, because I can't tell you how many times I've been at the dog shows and I heard people talking badly to the dog.
Yes.
You know, you cow, you, whatever, you know, using bad language. I'm like, stop doing that. Just talk to the dog like you would talk to a friend. If somebody talked to you the way some people talk to their dogs, would you ever perform? No, yeah. Never. And I hear it all the time. And I understand why people do it. You know, they get nervous and, you know, they don't really mean it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't really mean it, but they do it and the dog listens. So the first time I did hypnosis was for my friends at the World Show in Geneva. I was just studying. Yeah, we were in the room a day before the show, before the grooming started. And I was like, okay, let's do this. You know, I'm studying this. I made it up on the spot, you know. There was no script, nothing like that. So we went into this state, you know, I guided them through the whole thing. And I always kept, the thing that I kept repeating was, I know what to do. I know what to do, you know, just focus on my dog. I know exactly what to do. I'm calm and relaxed. And one of my friends, after they emerged from hypnosis, one of my friends had tears in her eyes. But next day, we all had world winners. I'm not saying that it happened because
of that. No, let's just, we're doing cause and effect, man. All right, you guys, we are recording this on the week before Westminster. So unfortunately, I can't get this drop for you, but it will be ready before the world show. We will definitely be ready for the world show. Oh my gosh. Well, Radek, that's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. Thank you so much. We will have links to your site so that people can learn more about your courses, learn more about all of this stuff. And I really appreciate your time. This has been really fantastic. Really, really good.
Thank you. I'm happy. Excellent. Thank you for this opportunity and all the work that you do. It's great.
Thank you very much. Share it far and wide out there in Slovakia.
I will.
Excellent. All right. Thanks a lot. All right, you guys. I know I've been talking about this a lot, but I just want to make sure everybody hears about it. I know every pet owner out there has questions about their pet's health. The Marty and Laura Show is here to help. Hosted by Dr. Marty and I, the new podcast delivers fun, fact-based conversations about all things pet health, whether it's a runny puppy nose or a kitty cough. This show is really designed for your puppy buyers, for your friends, for your non-dog folks in your life, you know, your cousins, uncles, brothers, girlfriend. So feel free to share this on. We encourage you to use this as a great resource for the non-dog people in your life. Talk on. As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our Dog Show Superintendents are the hardworking people who make the Dog Show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the Supers desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.